Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today. We are starting the book of Hosea. We just finished up Daniel, the intricate and very precise book of Daniel. Now we're into Hosea. Hosea was prophet of God during the reign of three or four of the kings of Judah, which were very bad days for the people of Israel because they had turned to other gods. They had totally abandoned God. God had turned his back on the northern kingdom and was still holding on to Judah because he had promised David that a member of his family would always sit on the throne. I think he's probably having second thoughts about that, but he knows he's got to bring the Messiah forward. But Hosea, you know, he kind of gets a bum rap. You know, poor guy. He's following God with all of his heart, and that's all God asks you to do. First covenant was given to Abraham. Said, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, they couldn't do that, and then God laid the law on them. And we've talked about the law, how it was God's punishment for not following me with all your heart. Simplicity, and Hosea is going to, strengthen the fact that it was given as a punishment. And right now, he's serving, like I said, during the reign of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah and Jeroboam. And things are not good. Everyone's doing what they think is right in their own eyes. They've totally forgotten God. In fact, under one of them kings, they reestablished the fact that, oh, there is a book that exists. So they found it in the temple, the law of God. Imagine that. They've turned to other gods, and because of this, that's why Hosea, he gets a bum rap. Because of this, God tells Hosea to go and marry a whore. Name is Gomer. Apparently, she's a pretty whore. Because God feels like his children, who he refers to as a wife, because he wants to be the husbandman, he wants to take care of his children. They have turned their back on him, and they have gone a-whoring with other gods. And he wants his holy man to feel what he is feeling. And he wants to see what's left of the good people in the nation to see what's happening to their holy man. And hopefully they'll correlate and realize this is caused by God because God wants them to know what he's going through. You know, you make a creation, his greatest creation. You want to take care of them. You want to cherish them. Any of you that are fathers or mothers know this. Your child, you bring them up. You want to give them the best. You want to take care of them. And when they rebel against you, oh my gosh, it breaks your heart. And that's what's happening. So every time poor Hosea came home, he had to go drag his wife Gomer out of the bed of some other guy. And, you know, there was a time in Israel when no one would do that because God had forbid it, but not anymore. So we're going to start the book of Hosea, chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. I see Hosea there. He's down on his knees for his evening prayer. Oh Lord, you're so great, you're so wonderful, I love you, I'm trying to serve you. Go take a whore for a wife, Hosea.
Wait, did he you say that?
Yes. Say that again, Lord. Yes, you heard me. I don't stammer. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaimi, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now this is right after God said, I turn my back on the northern kingdom of Israel. So he's already planning their demise. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. He's leading up to something here. He's actually leading up it within Hosea to the fact that Israel will one day, the Jews will one day accept Jesus Christ, and you're going to see that here shortly. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Loemi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Very different from the hundreds of years that he's cried out to these people, just follow me with all your heart, and I will make your lives so wonderful. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And there again, we're leading up to the conversion in the last days of the nation of Israel to Jesus Christ. And shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Chapter 2, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breast, lest I strip her naked. What is that? That's not a man talking to a child saying, plead with your mother. This is God speaking to Hosea. Plead with Israel. She's no longer my wife. And I, you know, for years I struggled with that analogy there, God and us, the church, his people being the wife. But it's not a man-woman relationship. It's a father-child relationship. But it's very intricate. God wants to be our provider. The man provides for his wife. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Any longer, it should say. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Straighten yourselves up, because my wrath, I mean, you guys don't remember my wrath, but your forefathers seen it many times. And if it wouldn't have been for Moses, I don't know that any of you would be here now, because I was ready to wipe you all out many times, and Moses fell on his face and beg me not to, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. You don't want to see that. You know, that's when God's hand is totally off of you and you are at the mercy of this world. Well, you know who rules this world right now? Christ said so himself. He said, the God of this world, Satan, he is ruling the carnal portion of this world. God is still in control of the spiritual portion. And it's all by God's will, because God allowed it to happen. Because this is a testing ground for you and I and for these people here to see if we are worthy of God's kingdom. Because we were there once. We've all been through this before. You catch episode one. There was a world full of men, a highly advanced world full of men and women here before. Jeremiah said God, in his anger, flooded the place. And then he put out the sun. You turn over to Genesis and he says, let there be light, for at least the second time. So, you know all them fossils that are millions of years old? They're real. This planet has been here for eons. But this line of mankind now, since 8,000 or 9,000 years, it ties the Bible and science together so tight. But Satan doesn't want that. He wants doubt. Oh, it's scientifically impossible that we've only been here 8,000 or 9,000 years. Absolutely impossible. Well, the Christians say that the flood created such great pressure on the land, did it fossilize all of these fossils? Mm-hmm. Yeah, overnight. Yeah, what was it, a year the flood was? It did all that in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They're digging up artifacts from advanced civilization. It was a spark plug found. It looked very similar to the kind we use. Found in rock dating thousands of years old. Little models of aircraft and spacecraft that are thousands of years old. It's beyond our comprehension, because we've been told, oh, this is the first time around, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. YOLO. You only live once.
Oh, yeah. Only, yeah. Exactly.
But not so much.
And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. Yes. Christian mother and father, your children suffer for your sins. They're not sent to hell for your sins. They do that themselves. But you walk not after God, and the mercies and the protection of the Almighty God are not on your children. It says, I curse those to the third and fourth generation who hate me. Like a doorway, I give it this analogy. You're walking down a hallway, and there's doors on both sides. Some doors open to good, wholesome things. Other doors open to evil and dark things. Be careful which doors you open, because you can't shut them. And your children are coming down that same hallway right behind you. Oh, Dad opened that door. Yeah. He drank a lot. I like drinking a lot, too, you know. You got to be careful. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them, hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. And give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Now, he's not talking about carnal lovers. He's not talking about a single woman there. He's talking about the nation of Israel following after other gods because they could get carnal pleasures out of it. That's what these other gods are. It's what all these modern gods are. The things that capture your imagination and give you pleasure in this life. God never said you couldn't have pleasure. There's plenty of wholesome pleasure out there. Paul said nothing for the Christian in Christ is illegal, but some things aren't good for the Christian. If you follow God with all your heart, you'll know the difference. But the flesh, once in control, destroys the spirit man. God said, I place the spirit inside the heart because the mind of man is contrary to the will of God. I repeat this all the time because you got to understand it. There's not just one you in there. There's the spirit man who God says, I knew before I placed you in the womb. He's put into this flesh that has the seed of the serpent in it now, because the children of Israel would not follow God. They would not wipe the land clean. Oh, well, we're not all Jews. Well, we all came off the boat. Noah's boat. There were a few others. You read the Samaritan text. Tubal-Cain took his tribe to the highest mountain. I believe that. Because there were giants in the land later, the Bible says so. It's a spiritual war going on. You think Satan didn't try to preserve some of his own? And you got to look at the story of Noah very carefully. God says, I destroyed all flesh in which I placed the spirit of life into. It didn't apply to the seed of the serpent. Every word in this book counts. Why we call it between the lines. You got to examine every word. You look at every sentence. You got to read it over and over and over again. And everything will fall in place and make sense. I've heard pastors try to explain. And there were giants after the flood. Oh, yeah, some of them wives of Noah's sons, they had some of that seed in them. No, a little of that seed in them is going to produce a 7-foot guy occasionally. Not a 13-footer that can pick up a ton with each arm. No, those were purebred. And they still existed after the flood because Tubal-Cain took his tribe to the top of the highest mountain. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. You know, if you follow God with all your heart, and the book of Job will tell you this, God will build a hedge around you. And it's not a hedge of thorns. It's a hedge of soft bushes that will protect you from the carnal problems in this world. But he says here, I'm going to put a hedge of thorns around you. That's not good. Every time you brush against it, you're going to be scarred. And this is coming from God. This is not just him allowing the world to do it. He is mad. And he does get angry, especially if you say you're one of his and you don't live up to it. God has put the lash to many people in this book. I tell you what, if you're a heathen, you're at the mercy of the world. If you're a Christian, not following after the God of, after God, you're at the mercy of the world and the wrath of your father. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. And shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better for me than now. And what he's saying there, all of these other gods that these people are following, they're not going to satisfy the spirit inside, the real person.
She tried them and they failed.
Exactly. Right. She's just the carnal satisfaction only lasts a few moments. That's like Saul. Saul's spirit, man, would pop out every once in a while and repent. He was in the back recesses of the mind, watching this flesh do whatever it wanted. And that's what happens when the spirit man goes to sleep. And the fastest way to put him to sleep is with overeating, Christian. I can attest to this. You give this body more food than it needs, it opens the doorway for the spirit to go to sleep. The flesh begins to crave more and more things. And then it's not just overeating. Then it's drinking too much. Then it's partying. And nobody said you ever couldn't have a party. Nobody ever said in this Bible you couldn't drink. It says all things in moderation. You know, there's plenty of places, and it's about 7 places in this Bible. God tells you to drink alcohol. You know, drink for the joy of your heart. You're having a good day, your heart is happy, have a little drink. You're having a sorrowful day, have a little drink. At the harvest. Harvest is a great time because the work is over. Celebrate. Have a party. But he says if you're a drunkard, you're a fool. Does that mean if you get drunk once, you're a fool? No. A drunkard is someone who continually is drunk. Okay? But religion has bound the hands of Christianity. You know, as soon as they took Christ off the cross, they took the 3 nails, and religion formed them into shackles, and they put them on the hands and the feet of the parishioners. God hates religion. Religion made laws that God didn't even like. God did this already. He created a religion, the law, the Levitical law, as a punishment. Because he said, follow me with all your heart to Abraham and circumcise your children. And they wouldn't do it. So he created this punishment, this law. And then when he finally brought Christ in, and it was a mission. It had to be done just right over hundreds of years. And one line had to be preserved without the seed of the serpent. That's what the struggle was all through this book. And God did it. And he brought Christ through to reestablish the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. That was given to the children later as punishment. He brought Christ, and Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Freedom, again. And what do we do with it? And it started with the apostles. We start taking Christ's freedom and turning it into religion. Baptists and Methodists, Pentecostals, they all have their own rules. This is what we get out of this book. This is what we get out of this book. This is how you should act according to this book. No, this is how you should act according to this book. And you can't do that. And you can't do this. And you, but you know what? That's not what the book says. Paul was even running around chastising the apostles. Oh, the apostles were perfect. No, they weren't. Some of them were mixing in Jewish religious customs with this newfound freedom in Christ. The Bible says in black and white, if you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and you mix it with the law, you're making his sacrifice of no avail. That means it just doesn't work for you. You keep one tittle of the law. I got to keep Sunday holy. You keep one tittle of the law, you're required to keep it all. And it'll only end in bondage and separation from God. And you're telling Jesus Christ his horrible sacrifice, the blood that he shed, the torment. This is God who's never felt pain in his life, except in his heart here we see in the chapters of Hosea. Never felt the physical pain, came down here and endured it all. And every sin you and I ever committed, he felt.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.